Welcome, everybody. You are now listening to the Monique Rodriguez, the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show. Well, I will be sharing tips on business, being a God-fearing wife, a mom, an entrepreneur, and I'm also going to do a few boss interviews on this podcast show. So thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to download and subscribe to my podcast show because you are in for a treat. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show, where I am your host, Monique Rodriguez. And today, this interview is a really bomb interview with one of my good friends, Melissa Butler, who is the CEO of The Lip Bar. And if you haven't heard of The Lip Bar, they are a vegan and cruelty-free makeup line that is all about inclusive. They believe that everyone is beautiful. Melissa Butler started The Lip Bar in 2012, and she launched The Lip Bar because everywhere that she looked, the media was telling women that beauty looked a certain way, and she hated it. So she started making lipstick in her kitchen because she believed beauty shouldn't compromise health. And because she believed that, she was determined to change the way people thought about beauty. And there is no standard. She says that you are the standard. I actually met Melissa when I first started my company, probably back in like 2014. And we were doing a trade show, and I believe the trade show was in Dallas. And we kind of just briefly connected, introduced ourselves to each other, but really didn't keep in touch after that. You know, we would see each other at different events and say hi in passing. We've always been very cordial to one another, but we recently did the Beauty Biz tour where we went on tour. I did it with Melissa and Rachel and myself, and we went to different cities really just sharing our story, and we really bonded, and I consider her one of my business besties. And I talk about this all the time, you guys. Like, I really believe in organic relationships and organic friendships. And I believe that you may not connect with someone right when you first meet them. I know, at least for me, it really takes me a while to like warm up to people. So a lot of the relationships that I have cultivated, I have encountered people on several different occasions before we like really bonded, because I don't know. I guess that's just my introverted side. Like, I was at a retreat this past weekend, and one of the ladies at the retreat was saying that, you know, she met her husband and they were married and after being together for 11 months. And I was like, "Woo, child, it may take me 11 months to meet a new friend." You know, I was being funny, but, you know, so when you encounter people, like, if you guys don't connect or you don't exchange numbers right away, just let that relationship build organically, because it's supposed to happen how it's supposed to happen. You know, I never believe in forced relationships or forced friendships. I really believe in making those genuine connections. So me and Melissa recently genuinely connected on a more personal level when we did this tour together, and I really like her. She's a Detroit native. We're both in the Midwest, so we both love beauty, and her story is amazing, and I really wanted her to share her story because I think it's a bomb story. And one thing that really stuck out to me that I really want to stick out to you guys, I hope, is the fact that you have to tell your story and put yourself out there as a brand owner and not be afraid to. And, you know, you'll hear what she says about that when I get further into this podcast. And you guys will hear me say, like, "Oh my gosh, like, I wish all of my mentees are listening to this," because it's really important when she makes that point. So I am going to get into this podcast interview with Melissa Butler without giving the whole podcast away. So without further ado, let's get into Melissa Butler, the owner and CEO of The Lip Bar. So thank you, Melissa Butler, owner and CEO of The Lip Bar. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk to me on my podcast and tell everybody your story.
how you got started, and just share some advice for upcoming entrepreneurs as well. So, yeah, thanks for talking to me today.
No, How are you? Thank you so much for having me. I think it's so cool what you're doing. I think you've kind of like inspire a lot of entrepreneurs to like start mentorship programs. Yeah. And it's to the point that even like when we do like our WeWork tour, people are coming up to me like, so Melissa, when are you going to start your mentorship program? So I'm excited that about everything that you're doing, and you've added extra pressure to my plate. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to start doing Mondays with Melissa. Don't worry. I'm like,
yes,
you're going to
love it. So tell people about it all in this episode, Mondays with Melissa. I love that. So
yeah.
First, let's get into like, who is Melissa Butler? For those that don't know who you are, they're going to know about who you are after this episode. And if they didn't know you, they should know you. So explain to them who you are and why they need to know who Melissa is, and also the lip bar.
Yeah. And I'm happy that you made like that distinguishment, because like that's something that I've actually struggled with. I think as an entrepreneur, you can easily get wrapped up and into your business and easily allow your business to become your identity. And so while I am the founder and CEO of the Lip Bar, that's very different from who I am as a woman. And it's like, as a woman, I am, you know, I'm caring and I'm loving and I'm also selfish and I'm also aggressive. And, you know, I just consistently try to be the very best version of me. So I'm a thrill seeker, while also being benevolent, while also being like, you know, as gracious as possible. And then it's like the lip bar is just like, it's a part of me. It's like one of my arms, it's one of my facets. And so the lip bar is vegan and cruelty-free cosmetics that exist to really change the way people think about beauty and then ultimately think about themselves. So I started the company in 2012, making lipstick in my kitchen, not because I was super passionate about makeup, but primarily because I was frustrated with the industry and its lack of diversity, and was just like, you know what, instead of complaining about it, I'm going to do something to change it. And so like, I've taken all of the parts of Melissa Butler. So like, I've always kind of grown up being that person who was advocating for inclusive beauty. So like, I'm from Detroit, and Detroit is kind of like, Detroit used to be like that elitist community. It was a lot of Black people here who had money, because it was like the automotive industry. And like, so there are a lot of, it's really interesting because like, there's a direct correlation between education, like early education, and complexion. Like, this is where the idea of colorism comes from, because it's like, people who had more fair skin, they were given opportunities earlier. And so like, Detroit being like this land of like, Black people who were really able to be progressive very early on, that naturally gives to the fact that a lot of people in Detroit are like light skinned. And so like, people don't even really think about how deep the conditioning is, but a lot of people in Detroit are light skinned. But it's like, Detroit is also home to like a lot of like the first Black people within their industry, within like their school, like a lot of first Black people are here. Or are from here. And so I grew up kind of like always watching like people say like, oh, she's not light skinned, or, you know, she's pretty for a dark skinned girl. And it's like, well, I'm not dark skinned. Like, that always bothered me. And so I just decided to fight for it.
Oh, wow. That's like, and thing is, like, I've heard your story over and over again, but not that deep. You know, I didn't really realize, because, you know, I'm in Chicago, so Detroit is not that far. Like, Detroit was a city that we used to go to because we have family that lived in Detroit. So it was kind of like a vacation for me. But, you know, I never really experienced that, obviously, because I didn't live there. So I didn't really know how colorism was in Detroit, especially because it's not like it was in the South, it's in the Midwest. So to hear that, you know, it's like, wow, you had to endure that growing up. So you mentioned about your passion, and you said that you wasn't really passionate about makeup. You're more so passionate about like exclusivity, or what did you mention about with Black women and makeup? Could you repeat that again?
Yeah, it's just basically this idea that like we're always trying to transform in order to feel like we're good enough. It's like I have to do this in order to be accepted, and not even necessarily by society, but like accepted by ourselves. And so like my goal is just to make sure that the beauty industry is more inclusive and make sure that when people look in the mirror, they see a whole human being and they don't feel like they have to transform in order to be beautiful. And so like that's been my goal from day one. And that's like less about the actual product, but more so about us creating really diverse imagery to support this idea that there's beauty in everybody.
Right. So it seems like that's what you're passionate about. So why did you use makeup, I guess, to express your passion? Like what made you even think to, I mean, because you could have went into hair care. You could have, you know, started like women empowerment events to really like get that message out there. Like what made you choose to do it through makeup?
Yeah, that's a good question. Nobody's actually ever asked me that. I think it was like a twofold thing. I've always kind of been under or operated under this idea of, you know, change the industry from within. Like, so instead of complaining about it, like do something about it. So while I would be frustrated that, you know, maybe a makeup company or the media companies would only have certain types of Black women on their covers or in their ad campaigns, it was just like, well, you could complain about it or you could create a company that allows for that sort of representation. And so like that was kind of like me fighting it, like, you know what, if they're not gonna put, you know, Black women on their covers or in their campaigns, I will, sort of thing. And then the other part of it is I've always like really been into lip color. So like before I started the lip bar, I probably had 30 lipsticks from a variety of brands.
Okay.
And I started reading the ingredients on the backs of the products that I was using, everything from hair care to skincare to makeup, and just really realizing that like it was like trash ingredients. And like I was just like, what is this and why is this? So it really got started from my frustration with the industry, like the lack of diversity and then the excessive amounts of chemicals. And I was just like, I can do this. Like I don't have to complain about it. Like I can create something for me, my family, my friends, my community.
Yeah, and the reason why I asked is because I knew you had it somewhere in you, because I, you know, I talk about with people like doing something that they love and that they're passionate about when they go into business, because if you don't love what you're doing, if you don't have a passion for it, like you're not going to stick with it. Like your passion is what's going to fuel you and what's going to motivate you to keep going. So it's like, you know, you have several passions behind what you do. I have several passions behind what I do, but it went back to how you said that, you know, you've always loved lip color. You had a 30 lipsticks that had different colors. You know, for me, I've always been into hair care. I would always try to style my hair, go into the hair care aisles and just like look at products. And, you know, I was always obsessed with that. So I asked that question because I just wanted the listeners to understand that you still had a love for it somewhere. But it's okay to have like several passions and different purposes in your life, and they all come together, because I don't believe that we're just here just for one purpose. Like we have many different purposes in our life, and we serve a different purpose each season of our life. So that was my point of asking you like about the passion behind, you know, the lip bar.
Absolutely. On that part, like, or on that point, a lot of people will come up to me and be like, hey, Melissa, I want to create a lash line. Can you help me? And my number one question is like, well, why do you want to create a lash line?
Right.
And they're like, because I love lashes. And it's like, that's not enough. Like you have to like really be truly passionate about solving some sort of problem that's like really deeply rooted within you. Because like when it gets tough and when you're not making money, or when you fail a couple times, like you need to have something that's like truly within you that's going to allow you to sustain. So you're right in that, like, oh, it might not be makeup, but there's something there.
Yeah, right.
And it has to be something there.
It has to be, because, you know, there are challenges and roadblocks. I mean, we kind of sit and talk about it, like when we do our WeWork sessions and we did the tour, how we would go to dinner afterwards and kind of just talk about like just business and some of the challenges that we face as business owners. So can we talk about, just from your perspective with running the Lip Bar, how, first of all, how long have you been doing this? Since 2000?
Girl, it seemed like my whole life. in some instances, it feels like, man, I'm just getting started. Like, this is a very fresh and new thing. And then in other instances, it's like, this is my entire adulthood. So the Lip Bar is 7 years old, but I was working on it for probably, you know, 18 months before we actually launched. Mm-hmm. So we launched in 2012. And for the first 3 years, it was more so of a hobby business. Like, I didn't know anything about business. I didn't know how to run a business. Like, I was working in the business and financial services industry, but like, mm-hmm. you don't really know how to run a business unless you have like that experience or someone to coach you. And so I didn't have like true mentorship at that time to tell me like, you know, this is how you should think about your cost of goods sold, or this is how you should think about manufacturing. And so I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, it's like you kind of have to learn through mm-hmm. experience and through mm-hmm. failure sort of thing. So like, that's why I really commend you for like creating, you know, this sort of platform so that people don't have to learn the hard way.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I didn't have a mentor, and there, if I could write a book, I would.
Well, girl,
I probably am soon about the million mistakes that we have endured and the challenges that we have encountered running our company. So what are some of the challenges that you have faced that, you know, if you were mentoring someone, that you would direct them in a different path and say, no, don't go this way. You should do it this way. Or, but before you answer that, I do believe in letting people make their mistakes. And the purpose of a mentor is to help guide you and give you advice, not to hold your hand and just, you know, take you step by step. Like, you're supposed to offer your opinion.
Right.
And then you have to be a business owner and a smart big boy or girl and make that decision yourself. So can you talk about
your mentor should, you should be going to your mentor for advice on things, not for answers and not for ideas. You should already be presenting what your plan is so that it can be like properly assessed, not necessarily like, hey, I want to start a business. Where do I start? I can't, like, you got to just start.
Yeah. And that's what I tell you. Like, I can't answer that for you. I can't figure out what you like. You have to be able to ask questions. You got to go after what you want in life. So mm-hmm. yeah, I absolutely agree. So yeah, so what are some of the obstacles that you've encountered running the Lip Bar for 7 years?
Oh girl, I mean, it's so many. Like, I'm going through obstacles right now, but yeah. I think one of like the most prominent things, and this is the thing that people talk about the most, but I never really get a chance to answer it properly. Like, people, everybody knows, like, we went on Shark Tank and we didn't get a deal and they were really cruel to us. Mm-hmm. And so what, like, aside from that, I think the idea of fundraising and this idea that as a startup, like, the most important thing that you need is money, I think that is a myth that people should like try to get out of their head. So it's like, mm-hmm. that's the one thing that I would advise against. It's like, don't take money before you're actually ready to take money. Like, if we would have taken that money from Shark Tank, I can't say that the Lip Bar would be in a better position than we are today. Because the reality is, we weren't ready to take money. We weren't even an investable company at that point. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing yet. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it's like, that was just like me being naive and thinking like that money was going to solve my problem, where it's like, no, you needed to be more creative, Melissa. You needed mm-hmm. to be more innovative, Melissa. You needed to go out and put in a little bit more work so that when you actually get money, you know what to do with it. So that's the thing that I would caution entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs from doing. Like, don't take money too early, because number one, you might lose your whole company. Or you might just waste the money and waste mm-hmm. someone's time in the process and potentially burn a bridge in terms of that relationship. Because if someone is investing in you, it's mm-hmm. certainly not charity. Like, they expect a return. And so, like, mm-hmm. you need to know how you're going to deliver that return beforehand, before thinking about taking someone else's money.
Yeah. And another thing that I pulled from what you said is that, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs get discouraged by people saying no and getting denied. And one of the things that you said is that if you would have took that money from Shark Tank, you don't think that the lip bar would be where you're at today. So that's why you can't get discouraged when people walk out on you and when people deny you, because sometimes that is God's way of protecting you
from
like disaster. So, you know, yeah, you're on Shark Tank. It's a big platform. You're looking at all that money. Like, I'm sure in that moment, you just want to like go in the corner somewhere and cry. Like,
yeah,
I
did.
Would have. But
I did. I
went
in the corner
and
cried for sure. Yeah.
But I mean, like, look at you now. So, you know, I just want people to understand that you're going to get a lot of no's, you're going to get denied, but you got to keep pushing forward, because you could have went off a Shark Tank and said, you know what, this is not for me. I'm just going to give up. Maybe this is not my calling. Maybe this is not something that I'm supposed to be doing. And you could have just thrown in the towel. But like, look at you now. And how long ago was that? How many years ago?
Shark Tank was, I think, like 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
So we were still early. So when I mentioned earlier that the first couple of years of the business, where it was just a hobby business, when I went on Shark Tank, it was certainly still a hobby business.
Right. So you
and here I
prepared.
Am asking for my
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like, some people, they don't really understand and they don't know what they want. And it's okay to like turn down offers. Because again, when you're a young business owner, I mean, just where I am now, being in business for 5 years, and where I was like 3-4 years ago, like, I'm mentally where I am now, I'm matured so much and learned so much in business. And some of the things that I've decided to do, or some of the choices I made back then, I'm looking at it like, why the heck did I do that? But you got to learn from that, and you have to go through the storm in order to become a better CEO and in order to become a better business owner and to know how to run a business. Because just like you said, I didn't know how to run a business. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. It was me and my husband trying to figure stuff out, and we was on Google like all the time, you know, trying to like understand like cost of goods sold and things like that. But, you know, we wasn't ready. So to your point, if you're not ready, you can get yourself in a world of trouble. So it's not a race. Like, you have to take your time, try to understand business, try to learn, try to surround yourself with people that you can learn from in order so you can grow.
Absolutely.
So many great points from you just saying that one obstacle
there.
So let's talk about, like, where you were before starting the lip bar. You mentioned that you were on Wall Street. Were you still working when the lip bar was, like, when did you start to see, like, growth? And when did you decide, okay, Wall Street, I'm done with Wall Street. I'm going to quit this and run the lip bar full time?
So I'm a risk taker. And I think this is a very dangerous question that I get a lot. Like, when do I quit my job?
Yeah.
Because people will literally, like, you know, they're waiting on an answer to say, like, oh, well, Melissa said quit your job at this point. And I don't think that that's an answer that anyone can answer except you. So, like,
right.
I know that I'm a risky person. I knew that I was willing to bet the house sort of thing. I was like, okay, well, I'm living in New York City. Yes, it is very expensive. Yes, I have a degree. I figured I could fall back on my degree and my experience. I saved up money. I saved up what I thought would be a year's worth of expenses. It only lasted, I think, 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to quit my job very early in my business. I think I was like 18 months out of launch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I quit my job, I wasn't even replacing my salary, but I was very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you know what? I would rather focus on this and take the risk than regret it. But that's me. So I think a lot of people, you know, rightfully so, take more calculated risks. They're like, okay, well, when I can replace my salary, when I can make sure that I have enough saved in the bank, when I can make sure, you know, all of my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted, that's when I'm going to quit. So I don't think that there's an answer of like when people can quit their job, or like at what point of growth in the business should they quit, because like that's super subjective. And I would caution everyone from thinking that that there's a specific time. Like, you'll know, like, it's like that gut feeling that you have in your heart when it's like, you know that you can't keep doing what you're doing outside of your business, that's when you do it. That's when you do it, when you know you've calculated everything that you can calculate and that you're prepared for the risk. And so I'm a bit riskier. I did it very early. I did it without enough money, and I fell flat on my face initially. And I think it's important to remind people of that. Like I couldn't pay my rent. Like, me and my roommate, who's my creative director, Roscoe, we lived in a 2-bedroom apartment in New York. She moved into my room. We were Airbnb-ing her room. It's like, we could have had a serial killer living with us. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, like, that's a very risky thing, but that's something that happens when you don't, like, you know, take a full on, like, make a calculated decision. And it's like, I thought it was calculated. I thought it was going to be a year. It ended up being 6 or 7 months. Now what?
Right. Yeah.
So,
and,
girl, it's crazy.
So, yeah, I agree. Like, there is no cookie cutter answer. I always tell people, like, you'll know. And I'm big on, like, manifestation. So I put things out in the atmosphere. So I guess I'm more riskier than you, because I quit my job in 6 months and I was not able to replace my income. But that's really, like, how tired I was of, you know, my current job. And I felt like you, like, if I took my focus, because, well, number one, I was dealing with people's lives. So it's really hard to focus on taking care of people and not doing anything wrong, and then growing a business. So I knew that if I wanted to grow my business and take it to the next level, I had to completely focus on it. So yeah, I quit, like, in 6 months, and, you know, haven't looked back, and, you know, it's been amazing. So if you could look back, what is one thing that you would say that you can do differently, or you would do differently, if anything at all?
Yeah. So I try to live my life without regrets, because I think every single thing that I've done or haven't done has, like, prepared me to become the person I am today. Now, of course, there are things, like, you know, hindsight is 2020. So there are things that probably could have allowed me to grow faster. I think me being reluctant to step into the forefront of my business, like, it hurt the brand more than any other external factor. So
wait,
for years, I was just,
can you repeat that again? Cause I'm big on that.
Yeah. For years I was afraid to step into the forefront of my business. Mm-hmm. And it's like, for years, people told me, like, Melissa, it's you. It's not the product. It's not the story. It's you. And I would say, yeah, I know it's me, but I don't want people to aspire to be me. I want them to be inspired by the story and know that they can do the same. Well, the problem with that was nobody can tell your story better than you. And so if I wasn't at the forefront being the author of my own story, then the story simply wasn't going to be told. And so, like, I saw crazy transformation when I decided to be the face of my own brand. And, like,
oh,
a part
hallelujah.
Of me was like, well, Melissa, seriously, I was like, a part of me was like, this isn't sustainable. Like, how can I run a company and be the face? And I'm also kind of still dealing with that. But, like,
yeah,
the company has completely transformed because it humanized the brand and it let them know that, like, I am a person who is, like, willing to go to bat for everything that we believe in at the Lit Bar. And so that's where the wires get a little crossed, going back to, like, your original question, like, who is Melissa and who is the Lit Bar? Because people want you to be one. People want you to kind of, like, live within their box. And, like, I'm consistently reminding them, like, look, I'm Melissa Butler and the Lit Bar is the Lit Bar. And, like, Melissa Butler's ideals, like, they are, like, the foundation of this company. But at the end of the day, like, I have to be my own person, even though I'm at the forefront of this brand. And, like, this brand is a big part of me and, like, my journey. Like, it's two separate things, but, like, that's probably the biggest thing that I would have changed earlier, just not being afraid to really write my own story.
Oh my God. Like, you make me want to release this podcast, like, today, because I say that over and over and over again. So I hope that all of my mentees are listening to this. So when I tell them and I push them to tell your story, to put yourself out there, to be the face of your brand, it makes such of a big difference. So you see it from both sides. So, you know, I'm glad that you said that, because it's like now they're not just hearing it from me.
Yeah, it's so true. Important. Now, like, I won't go, like, we're pitching to retailers, and it's like, I have people who, like, help put the pitch deck together and, like, tell the story, but it's like, I have to be the forefront of the story. Like, I have to tell the story, because nobody's going to sell the story. Nobody's going to sell the product better than me.
Yep. And so, the retailers want to see you. They want to
Yeah, of course.
Back, and they want to hear your story. So, that's, I'm so glad you said that. So before I let you go, what is a little bit of advice that you would give an upcoming entrepreneur? Maybe they want to start a makeup line. Maybe they want to go into business. Maybe they just don't know what they want to do, but they want to be a business owner. What is one or two little gems that you can leave our listeners with?
The first thing I'll say is, like, don't believe that you can't do something just because someone else is doing it. Like, there's so much room. There's so many potential customers in the marketplace. So don't be deterred by this idea that the market is too saturated. Like, they told me that on Shark Tank. They were like, the market is too saturated. They're going to crush you like colorful cockroaches or something just so ridiculous. But it's like, I heard that advice and I completely ignored it, because I was like, nobody can talk to my customer in the way that I can talk to my customer. And so at the end of the day, you have to understand, like, that there's room in the marketplace for everyone, as long as you are carving out your own lane. And so, and the way to carve out your own lane is really think about, what are the white spaces within the market? Who is the customer that's being completely ignored, even in the midst of all of this saturation? So it's like, for instance, like, if you want to create a makeup line, like, there's no makeup line really, like, catering to guys. Also, alternatively, there's really no makeup line catering to women who are, like, in the 50 plus range. It's like Fashion Fair kind of went out of business and nobody has replaced that customer. And so, like, there's still so many spaces within every part of the beauty industry, the food industry. It doesn't even matter what industry. So it's like, if you want to create a business, fine, create your own lane and talk to that customer and know that customer.
Oh my gosh. Like, I feel like, have you been, like, in my mentorship classes? I mean, you're, like, speaking my language. These are things that I tell people over and over and over again. Like, I don't believe in a saturated market. And that's why I call it the secret sauce, because what's going to make you unique is your own sauce that you put into it, your own uniqueness. That's what's going to make you different. And that's what's going to resonate with people. And that's how you're going to relate to people. So amazing, amazing advice that you just gave. So before we go, Melissa, if you can just tell everybody your social media handles, and I'll also put it in the show notes so they can follow you and the Lip Bar on Instagram.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you so much for having me again. I really applaud what you're doing. If you guys want to check out the Lip Bar or me personally, you can find us on Instagram at the Lip Bar and at Melissa R. Butler. And then, of course, the Lip Bar is just thelipbar.com. So thank you again for having me. I appreciate you. And yeah, I got the sauce.
Yeah, you do got the sauce, girl. But thank you so much, Melissa. I really appreciate you. You're my girlfriend, so I'm going to see you probably at Essence. I will see you at Essence. So, this was amazing. Like I said, you make me want to upload this right now. But thank you so much for your time. And I will see you in about 2 weeks or so.
All right. Thanks, girlfriend.
All right, girl. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, you guys. That was my interview with CEO of the Lip Bar, Melissa Butler. Like, isn't she so dope? Like, I told you guys, I wasn't lying, that you were really going to enjoy this interview. And I hope you love this interview just as much as I did. And before I say my goodbyes to you guys and tell you guys that I'll talk to you guys next week, I did not read a review this week. And I usually read my reviews at the beginning of the podcast, but because I forgot to do that, I want you guys to know that I love reading your reviews and I really appreciate it. So I'm going to read a couple of reviews. I know this is the end of the podcast, but this review is from Ashley Janae. She said, I love this. I found your podcast by searching for new podcasts to listen to. Your passion for this makes me want to listen even more. I love how relatable, informative, soft-spoken, and business-savvy you are. I listened to all episodes today, and now I'm eager for next week. I'm waiting around, being impatient like a new season of Power. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. A new season of Power. That's a huge one for me. So thank you so much. And I'm going to read another review from T Faithful Life. Authentic and valuable content. Love this podcast. Thank you so much for authentic and valuable content. I'm sorry. So helpful and empowering. So again, thank you guys for leaving your reviews. And again, if you love this episode, take a screenshot, upload it to your Insta story, tag myself and Melissa Butler in your Insta story, because I like to see who's listening. I love to repost your stories on my stories. So I thank you so much for that. And again, if you guys are not signed up for my newsletter, I will be reopening my 6-week online mentorship program, the Secret Sauce Academy, which is an online digital course which walks through the sauce method, and it breaks down the method to help you launch or scale your business. So whether you have an idea, you feel stuck, you don't know how to get these ideas out of your head, whether you started a business but you really can't figure out the next steps on how to scale your business, that is what the Secret Sauce Academy is all about. I am showing you how to build your business, breaking down the soft method, which is a method that I use to launch and scale my Yale Organics, and a method that I still stay true and hold to my heart today, because the principles of marketing do not change. This is a step-by-step 6-week program. I do weekly live Zoom sessions with my mentees to check in to see how you're doing in the course, for you to ask whatever questions you want to ask me. I am an open book, but that enrollment opens up next week, so make sure you sign up for my news list, because it will only be open for a short time, limited seating, because I like to keep it exclusive so it can be very valuable for my mentees. So if you don't want to miss it this time, because a lot of people missed out last time, you have to be signed up so you'll know when the enrollment opens. So again, thank you guys for tuning in, and I will talk to you guys next week, and have a great rest of your week. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Monique Rodriguez, The Secret Sauce to Success podcast show. Stay tuned for next week. I will talk to you guys later.